Thank you, Mandy.
Hi, good morning. My name is Arpi Terzian. I'm an epidemiologist at the New York City. Can everyone hear me? Is this too loud? No. Okay, good. I work at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. I work in the Bureau of Alcohol and Drugs Prevention, Care, and Treatment. We conduct routine data monitoring and surveillance to reduce morbidity and mortality associated with alcohol and drugs in New York City. So it's a pleasure to be here today and present to you some of our alcohol-related morbidity using hospital admissions data. So first, I will begin by describing the burden of disease, followed by my objectives, methods, results, and some conclusions. So before I go on, I wanted to define the types of drinking patterns that are used in this presentation. Risky drinking is often described as heavy drinking, binge drinking, or excessive drinking. These types of drinking patterns of alcohol consumption is what a person reports in the past 30 days. So all of these things are patterns of drinking in the past 30 days that someone would report from our citywide health survey that we take, that is conducted every year. So heavy drinking is defined as consuming an average of more than 2 drinks per day for men and an average of more than 1 drink per day for women. Binge drinking is defined as consuming more than 4 drinks on at least one occasion for men and more than 3 drinks on at least one occasion for women. So excessive drinking is either binge drinking or heavy drinking or both heavy and binge drinking. And then what we call moderate drinking is just not excessive drinking. That's a lot of terminology. So excessive alcohol consumption is, as you would expect, one of the leading sources of illness and disability, ranking 4th out of the leading causes of disability in New York City in 2005. The number of deaths attributable to alcohol in New York City was nearly 1,800 in 2013. Over 50% of New Yorkers reported consuming alcohol in the past 30 days, and 20% reported binge drinking. So this next slide is a bar chart and these orange diamonds to compare the citywide prevalence to New York to the U.S. prevalence. And as you can see, to the bar on the left, current drinking, as I said, is over 50% in New York City, and that is similar to the U.S. prevalence. Heavy drinking was reported at 5%, and binge drinking again was reported at nearly 20%. By race ethnicity, we know that current and binge drinking are most common among white New Yorkers. So that is the bar charts to the left. The highest prevalence of current drinking is 67% in the blue bar among whites, as compared to 47% among blacks in the red bar. Similarly, in the bar chart to your right, the proportion of binge drinking among whites was nearly 25%, which was nearly double that of blacks, which is represented in the red bar. Okay, so our objectives were twofold. First, we wanted to describe differences in alcohol-related hospital admissions data by demographic and neighborhood-level characteristics. And second, to describe the top 5 most commonly reported comorbid conditions. So we used the SPARKS data set, which is the New York State's Department of Health Statewide Planning and Research Cooperative System data set. It's a rich data set, an administrative data set. We restricted our analyses to New York City residents aged 13 to 84 year olds and included principal and secondary diagnoses. The principal diagnosis is that condition chiefly responsible for the patient's admission to the hospital. Secondary diagnoses were conditions that coexist at the time of admission or that develop during the stay. We used ICD-9 codes to define alcohol-related admissions, and diagnoses included large groupings such as alcoholic abuse, dependence, psychosis, and cirrhosis of the liver. We excluded procedural codes like rehab and detox. So with this data, we computed age-adjusted rates per 100,000 residents and identified comorbid conditions using the clinical classification software, which categorizes patient diagnoses into easily understood disease patterns. The software is used by the HCCUP, the Healthcare Cost and Utilization Project. So to my results, about 1 in 12 hospitalizations, or 8% of all admissions in 2012 in New York City were alcohol related. This statistic has been actually stable over the past 10 years. The pie chart on the left summarizes the proportion of diagnoses by principal and secondary diagnoses. So in the blue, you see that about 85% of all alcohol-related admissions were listed as a secondary diagnosis. Only 15% of all alcohol-related hospital admissions were categorized as a principal diagnosis. So this table summarizes alcohol-related hospitalizations by admission number. In the first row, three quarters of all those admitted with a hospital, alcohol-related hospital admission, three quarters of them were admitted only once in 2012. So this group represented 50% of all alcohol-related hospitalizations. This table just summarizes to say that most people only came in once in 2012 and only a small proportion had more than one admission in 2012. When looking at rates of alcohol-related admissions by gender and race ethnicity, so if you look to the left in the red bars, we see that rates were the highest among males, nearly three times higher than that of females. In the bar chart, the purple bar chart to your right, by race ethnicity, rates were highest among blacks, which were two times higher than that of whites. When looking at rates by age, the rates were higher for older New Yorkers. Among those admitted with an alcohol-related diagnosis, persons aged 55 to 64 years had the highest rates, and their rate was over five times that of persons aged 18 to 24. So when looking at rates by neighborhood level poverty, residents living in neighborhoods with the highest poverty had the highest rates, so the bar on the far right. Neighborhoods where 30 to 100% of residents living below the poverty line, which is how we this is an area level based measure, which is how we, so 30 to 100% residents living under the federal poverty line was our most impoverished community. They had nearly three times the rates of the wealthiest neighborhoods. By diagnosis type, the most common alcohol-related diagnosis was alcohol abuse at 47%, followed by dependence at 42%, and liver disease without a mention of alcohol at 26%. Now, these diagnosis types were not mutually exclusive, so they don't add up to 100%. For example, it was relatively common to see someone come in with both dependence and abuse listed together for a given admission. Okay, so moving on to the top five comorbid conditions when alcohol was not the principal diagnosis. So remember that occurred 85% of the time, were mood disorders, followed by schizophrenia and other psychotic disorders, pancreatic disorders, non-specific chest pain, and septicemia. The top five comorbid conditions when alcohol was the principal diagnosis, so this occurred 15% of the time, was hypertension, fluid and electrolyte disorders, other liver diseases, anemia, and lastly, nutritional, endocrine, and metabolic diseases. So given the prevalence of alcohol consumption and morbidity in New York City, two different pictures arise. So on the left, I have here, while white New Yorkers, more affluent New Yorkers, and younger New Yorkers are more likely to binge drink, this is not the group that has the highest alcohol-related admissions. The burden of disease is higher among black New Yorkers, older New Yorkers, and those living in the highest poverty neighborhoods. So in conclusion, we found disparities by demographic and neighborhood level characteristics. We also learned that secondary diagnoses are important to characterizing alcohol-related admissions as they capture the majority of the alcohol-related diagnoses. Lastly, examining demographic and neighborhood level differences are important to identifying populations at risk, which is necessary for targeted public health intervention and planning efforts. Thank you. So I think I'm taking questions now, or at the very end. Any questions? Yes.
When you look at it, the binge drinking, that was just prevalence from populations. So that wasn't necessarily the hospital admissions folks, and having actually binge drinking rates reported from them.
That's right. Yes, we didn't. Alcohol consumption patterns were not captured in the hospitalization data, so we grabbed it from our citywide survey, the community health survey.
I just wonder what it would be like if that had been asked.
That would be fantastic if we had that information. Yes?
I have a quick question about the ability to look from the prevalence data to look also the frequency and intensity of the excessive drinking, because the same picture that you have shown, the difference is the flip-flop between the prevalence of excessive drinking and the prevalence of hospitalization for those alcohol-related conditions is similar to the flip-flop relationship we see with prevalence and frequency and intensity. Because once you look carefully at beyond the prevalence of excessive drinking, you find the same groups you found for admissions. So probably more information you can dig from the behavioral data that will mimic the
people
you see from
the
admissions data.
Yes, that's a great point. And I think I have a slide on intensity and frequency of number of drinks, maximum number of drinks. And yes, that would be great to look further, and we do plan to do that. Yes. Yes, length of stay is a variable in that data set, and the average number of days for someone admitted with an alcohol-related diagnosis was a little over 5 days, 5.4 days, and then when I looked at the length of stay for anyone admitted in 2012, it was actually higher, so it was more over a week. So it was actually the length of stay was shorter among those with an alcohol-related diagnosis, which was interesting to me. I'm relatively new to the SPARCS data set, so I didn't know sort of like the severity of the disease, so that's interesting to note that they actually had a shorter duration. Oh, yes, hi.
Did you look at that between those that were diagnosed with primary alcohol involvement versus secondary to see if there was a difference in the length of stay?
I may have looked at that. That is something I do need to explore. I can't remember the data on that though. But I that's a great question. I will follow up on that. Any others? Before we go on, I just want to acknowledge the health department. Denise, Hillary, Eleni, Brian, Aviva, Shivani, Michelle, Tony, and the New York State Health Department. Thank you.